From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in. Tomorrow is Veterans Day, and there are several ceremonies honoring veterans in Juneau. The Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska and Southeast Alaska Native Veterans Group will host its annual Veterans Day ceremony and luncheon starting at 11 at Elizabeth Paratovich Hall. It'll feature performances by the elders and Ya Teye dance groups and keynote remarks by Colonel Jeff Philippart of the U.S. Air Force and Colonel Erica Iverson of the U.S. Army. Tlingit and Haida President Chahi Ish Richard Peterson says honoring veterans shouldn't be limited to one day a year.
Their example strengthens our tribe. It inspires our young people to lead with integrity and care. And we just want to continue to lift them up with the support and the recognition and the resources that they deserve every day.
The VFW Taku Post 5559 and the American Legion will also host their annual public ceremony at Centennial Hall at 11 a.m., followed by a dinner at 5 p.m. at the American Legion in Auk Bay. Duff Mitchell is a veteran of the Army National Guard and commander of American Legion Post 25. He says it's important to reflect on the impact of veteran service.
It doesn't matter what political end of the spectrum you are, but, you know, freedom of speech and your other freedoms are very well protected in this country. And veterans have a lot to say of why we have those freedoms here.
And the Juneau chapter of Veterans for Peace also plans to host an Armistice Day ceremony outside the State Capitol building at 10:30 a.m. Tlingit and Haida is also offering free coffee to veterans tomorrow at its On Hit retail store and coffee shop on Franklin Street. Juneau's avalanche forecasters are gearing up for winter. The local electric utility and the State Department of Transportation recently reinstalled scientific instruments to help them predict avalanche risk at their largest research site in town. KTOO's Alex Solomon went along to see what it takes to make accurate forecasts.
After riding up the Gold Belt tram and taking a short walk, Mike Janes pulls on a harness and climbs up a metal weather tower on the north-facing slope of Mount Roberts in the pouring rain.
Just, can you get me like a box end wrench?
Yep.
They should be in that red tool bag.
Janes is an avalanche forecaster at Alaska Electric Light and Power. He's reinstalling sensors that will help predict the threat of avalanches once Juneau's famous rain turns to snow. Mount Roberts and Mount Juneau loom over downtown. The steep slopes are marked by a history of avalanches and landslides, written in vertical chutes and tree rings. Avalanches are frequent in Juneau, but only a few have been disastrous. In 1962, an avalanche hit dozens of homes in the Barrens neighborhood downtown.
It is quite fantastic way to wake up at 5:10 in the morning with snow and glass in your face and a screeching wind smothering with snow all over the place.
That's Murray Walsh, Juneau's former community development director. He's reading a letter from his aunt, whose house was damaged in the 62 avalanche, for a KTOO documentary. And then in 2008, a massive avalanche took out AELNP's main power line to Juneau, forcing the city to rely on diesel generators for 2 months. Since then, the utility has built barriers to protect energy infrastructure. Jane says avalanches occur when a weak, unstable layer of snow forms, causing the layers of snow that accumulate on top to slide off. The different instruments he installs will help him understand when that weak layer forms and where in the snowpack it is. First, he attaches a snow height sensor to a pole about 15 feet up the tower.
That's vertical. That looks pretty close. I can go just temporarily send it out, and I can always bring it back. It looks like it's not quite lined up.
It sends down sound waves, which bounce off the snow and back to the sensor, measuring its height. Then he hangs a string vertically from the tower. It has nodes to measure temperature throughout the layers of snow. Next, Janes points to an instrument sticking off the side of the weather tower.
So that right up there, probably one of our most important instruments, that white cylinder with the black top, that's a heated tipping bucket, and that measures precipitation.
It's heated to melt snow, so forecasters can measure how much water is in the snowpack. Then he points to a small double-cylinder sensor called a net radiation meter.
That particular sensor is important for understanding when we're getting like weak layers forming at the surface that are going to become problems later.
How? Let's break it down. The Earth gives off heat called long wave radiation, which travels up through the snow and air and then gets reflected back down to Earth by clouds that act as a sort of thermal blanket. But on a clear night, the heat escapes into the atmosphere and can cause the top layer of snow to get really cold really fast. Jane says that makes it become sugar-like.
And then if that stuff gets buried, then it becomes like a future weak layer that avalanches can run on.
This year, ALNP, the Alaska Department of Transportation, and other agencies will feed all of this data and more into a Swiss snowpack model. Patrick Dreyer is an avalanche and geohazard specialist at DOT. He says using the Swiss model could help Alaskans better predict how layers of snow are forming at high elevations.
That's especially relevant in Alaska, where we have limited high elevation monitoring sites, but we have miles of roadway that we're forecasting for.
He says using the emerging technology can help them make more informed decisions. Those decisions include things like setting off explosives to trigger avalanches before they become too big, or putting up barriers to protect infrastructure in areas where avalanches happen frequently. But Dreyer says there's a lot of variability between where they collect data and all the places where avalanches can occur. Plus, snow dynamics change, so no prediction is perfect. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
And the state of Alaska is limiting payments to SNAP recipients this week in response to federal guidance. As recently as Friday, state officials were prepared to fully refill SNAP debit cards. But then over the weekend, after the Supreme Court stepped in to stop a lower court ruling, the federal government told states they could only issue a total of 65% of the monthly benefit. President Trump threatened financial penalties if states did not comply. So the roughly 66,000 Alaskans on SNAP will still be short of what they were expecting for this month. Division of Public Assistance Director Deb Etheridge says the shortfall is the result of shifting instructions from the federal government.
We're here and we're ready and we're working really hard through the weekends to make sure that we can get the benefits out as soon as possible.
She says people who are eligible for November 1st SNAP payment will have 65% of their usual benefits. And dozens of elders and youth from around Alaska learned how to process a seal and discuss the importance of the marine mammal to coastal cultures. The workshop was part of the Elders and Youth Conference held in Anchorage last month. Coast Alaska's Angela Denning has more.
Teens and youth surround Brandon Ware at a table covered in cardboard. He's skinning a small harbor seal with silvery fur and tiny dark spots.
Now, I'm sure as many of you know, the trick is with seal, you always got to start off small, making real small cuts, separating that hide from the fat.
Ware harvested the seal near his home in Petersburg in southeast Alaska, then froze it and flew it to Anchorage for the conference. The 25-year-old takes great pride in his Thlinkit cultural practices, including his traditional introduction. Seals are an important part of many Alaskans' diets and lifestyles. The marine mammals are valued for their iron-rich meat, unsaturated blubber that's rendered into oil, and skin for clothing and crafts. Up to 3,000 harbor seals are harvested each year in Alaska for subsistence.
It's very much a superfood to us.
George Dalton is an elder from Huna in southeast. He's one of many elders watching Ware's seal skinning demonstration from nearby tables. They take turns standing up and sharing knowledge, including some modern-day comparisons.
The equivalent of McDonald's hamburgers, you'd have to eat 24 hamburgers to equal just 6 ounces of this seal meat. And you'd have to eat 48 hot dogs.
For some elders at the workshop, learning how to process a seal is a matter of survival. Henry Kunuk is Inupiaq from Point Hope on the northwest coast of Alaska. Growing up, seal was a staple of his diet, nearly every part eaten.
Once a week, sometimes every day for a long time when there's no caribou, when there's no fish, no more whale meat, no more whale muktuk. That's what we survive on a lot.
The skin had many uses for muklak boots, shoelaces, and rope for whaling boats. A whole seal skin could be sewn into a type of buoy or float for whaling, attached to a harpoon with a toggle line. Each float was marked with a family symbol, so it was clear whose harpoon hit the whale. Canuck says it's important for today's youth to learn these skills.
Because in the future, just like our elders used to say, everything's going to go away. A lot of the modern stuff. And if you can't survive, this might be the only thing you're going to live on.
After the seal is skinned, Ware chops through the meat and fat and distributes it to the group. Everyone is eager, holding out open Ziploc bags. 12-year-old Joshua Guy is waiting patiently. His favorite part is the blubber, which he likes to chew on.
It's really good. I call it, because it's really true,
Guy is Yupik and lives in Anchorage, but he has family in Western Alaska. He knows that sharing with elders is important.
I went seal hunting for my first time this year, April 23rd. Caught two seals, gave one to my grandma, and she was so happy.
Ware, the workshop leader, is stunned at the reception.
People were taking home the bones. It was incredible.
Ware started hunting seals with his dad at age 8. But through middle and high school, he got into sports. He says he didn't return to traditional harvesting until he was about 21. But he wants others to know that that's okay. It's never too late to learn.
If you're not involved in your culture but you want to learn, just take that step. Just take that step because you never know where it'll lead you and how much you'll learn from it.
One clear lesson at the workshop was the value of sharing. Dozens of elders and youth took away bags of nutritious seal to share with their loved ones at home. Reporting for Coast Alaska, in Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
And as for the weather here in Juneau this afternoon, it's 41 degrees and raining. And we're expecting more rain on the forecast for tonight and even heavier rain tomorrow. That might taper off over the night on Tuesday, and Wednesday looks like it could be clear. This is KTOO.